the Around the NFL podcast. Needs a hero in the mountain time zone.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a country filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, what is up, boys?
Yo, we actually have some football to talk about. There we go.
Yeah, bro. Greg with a little bounce in his step, I can tell right now. He's pumped up.
Oh, you knew no it was doubt. Coming.
No doubt. I mean, who's honked more about Cam Newton on this podcast than me? Believing that this man was destined for a greater career than really he's had when you break it down. Now it's time.
All right. We're going to get into it. Of course, everyone knows the big news that came about this weekend. Cam Newton signs a 1-year deal with the New England Patriots, the throne of sleaze thriving. And this is, so everybody knows, I mean, you know, Greg, obviously, Ricky, maybe a bounce in her step. We'll get to that in a little bit. But you know what, Mark, you could have a bounce in your step too, because this is our last show before our little mini summer vacation. Don't get angry at us, listeners, but we're taking off the rest of the week after today's show, and we're going to celebrate 4th of July with the family and just get a little bit of a breather, and we'll be back next Monday. But this will be your last show, first and only show of the week. Mark, I know you fought this behind the scenes. You kept on coming back to Greg and I, and you're saying, no, more content, more football talk in June during a global pandemic. Give us what we want. Give us what the listeners need. But we had to beat you back on that one.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's to my nature that I push to maybe go 5 shows this week and get back to that mode that we were in when Cam Newton was, you know, jettisoned from the Panthers. Doesn't feel that long ago, but that's a full 3 months ago at this point. So we have buzzed through this offseason at high speeds.
Our daily shows feel so long ago to me. When did those end? I honestly don't remember. Yeah. Was it May?
Well, we were counting them at one point.
No, it ended after the third day of the draft.
Okay. So, yeah. So about May, basically. We did it for a month and a half. That feels like another lifetime ago.
Yeah, it does not feel like yesterday to me. This has been the longest year of my life, and I know I'm not alone on that front. Anyway, so yes, we have a lot to get to. Some news, but of course the big news is around Cam Newton, and we're going to have it just in a little bit. The great Mike Garafolo is going to join us, one of the NFL Network insiders and a guy who is plugged in on these matters. But before we do that, makes sense to just kind of have a conversation about it because, you know, we just did our last NFL Network show, and one of the segments we did was kind of storylines that are going to be sticking in our heads a little bit when the NFL goes quiet during the pre-training camp weeks. And the one I mentioned was the two quarterbacks that are on everyone's minds. One, Colin Kaepernick. No other explanation needed there, I don't think, why that's on people's minds. But the other one was Cam Newton. And just this idea that the former MVP, one of the great stars of the last decade of the NFL, was going to potentially head into July and maybe into August and who knows when without a job. Well, that ended officially on Sunday when Newton signed a 1-year contract. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said it was a bare minimum deal worth up to $7.5 million. So he does get a job, and he didn't need to wait until he was able to get in front of a team for a workout. The Patriots essentially, Greg, take a chance on Newton, but not even that big a chance. It was seems like a perfect fit for both Newton, who not only goes somewhere but has a chance to start, and the Patriots, who, whether anybody wanted to believe it or not, and most of us did not believe it, had a major hole at quarterback. Maybe not anymore.
Maybe not. I mean, his health, Cam Newton, is the ultimate X factor. And it's like, it's not just an asterisk. It's just sort of this thing hanging over this entire conversation, along with, you know, will there be a season? But if he is healthy, and he's looked healthy in those workouts, and his arm looked pretty good, you know, last year, I think everyone forgets, and, you know, including me, I sort of blocked those games out. He did play, you know, in the preseason a bit. He got hurt against the Patriots, and that's where it all started. But his arm looked good in camp. And the arm is one concern, and the foot injury that knocked him out, that Liz Frank, you know, that
That harlot.
I mean, yeah,
not a good lady.
Evil scorpion woman.
You know, that's the reason he's out. And I have heard, and I've tried to ask people about this, and there's some talk like, look, if he got hurt again, is that going to be it for Cam Newton? There's that sort of talk about him. And that's why no other team offered him a contract. There is a report that he literally had no other offers. And I've seen a lot out there. It's like, wow, he only got Marcus Mariota money. And it's like, no, he got Jarrett Stidham money. We haven't seen the details, but the Patriots only had $1 million in cap space going into this weekend. And so that tells me maybe they'll move some things around, but very likely he's expected to be right around the minimum, as Ian Rappaport said. So he's making about $1 million. Brian Hoyer's making about $1 million. And Jarrett Stidham is making about $800,000 or whatever that is. The three of them combined are going to cost about a third on the cap for the Patriots as Tom Brady will this year. So that's why it was such a no-brainer for the Patriots. Like, that's obvious. But I think it's also a no-brainer for Cam, because I believe his main goal is to revive his career. And I really do think, it's not me just being a homer, that it's hard to imagine him finding a better situation right now. Not just a path to play, but a path to potentially succeed and kind of restart the second half of his career after two really disappointing years for him.
Yeah, I think a path to becoming a pretty easy pick for comeback player of the year if he's healthy and things went well. And people are asking, you know, what kind of offense will New England run? Well, all that can be sorted out. I think it's a awesome opportunity for Josh McDaniels to show what he can do. I agree with you, Greg. First of all, this is what the Patriots do. No other team, they say Cleveland made a call at one point about Cam Newton, but that didn't go very far. That no other team here in late June inquired on any level about Cam Newton, and the Patriots did. And if you get a healthy version of that player and what they can do on a team that, by the way, like, everyone's talking about how bare bones the offense is. I don't agree with that right now. When you look at the roster, they are a team that to me is a playoff team. If you get the good version of Cam Newton, no questions asked.
When I heard the news, I was kind of ambivalent about it. I always, whenever anything happens regarding the Patriots or the Jets, I get a bunch of like tweets like, wow, Dan, anybody want to check on Dan? See how he's doing?
Fill in the blank person. I know.
It's like, man, and we're going to do some winners and losers of the Cam Newton signing after we talk to Mikey G. But I think this was the other shoe that was eventually going to drop, but we all expected it to, and maybe not a lot of teams are kicking the tires on Cam. And I wonder why that is. And maybe that's a question we'll ask Mike. I do want to play Ricky. Do you have Steve Wyche, our buddy, was on NFL Network talking about the signing, and he had a nugget that was eyebrow raising, to say the least, about why some teams, or most teams, or all teams, except for the Patriots, one reason why some teams were scared away. Let's listen to that.
As I spoke to people from a handful of teams who said, not every team wants Cam's presence, whatever that means, whether it be the scarves over the head, the fact that he is a big persona in their locker room, whether the coaches couldn't handle it, or maybe the youth or whatever, the culture of their locker room couldn't necessarily deal with that, especially Cam wasn't the starter. Well, as we know, the Patriots don't care about that stuff.
The Patriots don't care about that stuff. And also Cam Newton, and that's the other part of this, Greg, and I know you wrote about this on NFL.com. Cam, if he's healthy, he's going to be the starter. So if you were a team, and I don't buy into, I buy into Weiss's report. What I don't buy into is this idea that he was going to be somebody who was dragging a team down because of his persona. But the reason the Patriots make so much sense is you don't have to worry about plugging him in as a number two and then that becoming a soap opera behind the scenes or in the media. He's going to be the starter. Jarrett Stidham is not going to beat out a healthy Cam Newton, and Brian Hoyer might not even be on the team.
Right. I don't think that's a question. It's about Cam Newton's health. But I do think it points to one reason why the Patriots sometimes have an edge over other teams. And they're not the only ones. I really believe they're not worried about everything else having to do with Cam, because he's not going to be the leader. Bill Belichick's the leader. Like, I know Tom Brady was the leader, but like, there's only one of those guys still left. Like, ultimately, that's his team, and Cam Newton's gonna be part of it. And there's no reason to think, with Cam Newton's competitiveness and leadership that basically every one of his former teammates talk about, that it's going to be a problem anyways. But ultimately, like the Patriots have shown time and again, Randy Moss is another example, like they're not going to sweat that and they're not going to be tied. And I think this is where they're different than some teams this offseason, to some plan that they feel like that's the way they have to win the game. Like that's the way they have to be this season. Like Denver, like we're all in on Drew Lock, and that's the only way we can win. No, the Patriots, they just want to figure out a way to have the best team. And it might be with Jarrett Stidham starting games this year. Not that he's going to beat him out, but just because it doesn't work out with Cam. I mean, if they believed with all their heart in Cam, they would have prevented him from signing with any other team if any other team had showed up over the last 3 months. But no one did. They just offered a minimum contract and figured, hey, it's worth a shot. Yes, they're going to, I expect that Cam is going to be their starter if he's right, but they're not locked into it. They're going to have plans for if Jarrett Stidham is the starter too, because how could you not? They are always willing to adapt. And I thought this year they're going to try to win with defense and their running game, and their offensive line, I think, looks really good. It at least has a chance to be one of the better Patriots offensive lines that they've had. And that's how they're going to win. And I do get a feeling like McDaniels, maybe this is a little bit off your point, but he's, you know, there was rumors he wanted Lamar, and you know, he's watching all these other teams like beat their defense and give them problems with the athletic guys. And I do wonder if McDaniels has been looking at that the last few years and getting a little itchy. You know, wanting to get that Tim Tebow playbook out from 2010 and say, hey, I was doing some things with quarterbacks that really weren't like the greatest passers in the world a long time ago. Give me Cam Newton, then we can fly.
Well, weirdly enough, a lot of the Tim Tebow stuff came under John Fox, but I hear you on that.
Right, but I mean, no, McDaniels was you know, calling the plays for him, right?
Well, he was dispatched as head coach at that point, but I think that your point is he drafted Tim Tebow and
right.
knew that he'd have to deal with him in a different way. And you could say, why didn't 28 other teams go and look into Cam Newton? This is the perfect fit for him with where we are right now with this team. I mean, and I don't think it's we simply lost faith in Jarrett Stidham. It's just like, find out more about Jarrett Stidham. But to me, it just advertises that any concept of Bill Belichick wanting to win with nothing at quarterback, you know, and our friend Chris Wessling made this point, you know, demonstrably a few times too, that the other shoe had not dropped. And ultimately, Bill Belichick is not taking a season off. I think his latter legacy, later years with the Patriots, matters incredibly to him. And this is a team now that if you get a good version of Cam, could be 12-4 without skipping a beat and maybe outperform Tom Brady.
That's asking a lot.
Asking a lot for them to be 12?
You know what?
This
is why it's asking a lot, because you're really going out on a limb to make that assumption that Cam Newton's healthy. And this is how the NFL world reacts. This is a marquee NFL team that is in a post Tom Brady world. So they're so fascinating. Cam Newton is one of the great superstars of the last 10 years. So when they come together, there's this temptation just to be like, yep, all right. He's going to be the Cam Newton everybody remembers. The Patriots are going to go 15-1, as Mark predicted on Twitter yesterday. But the reality of the situation, there's so much unknown right now. And that's part of the reason I'm ambivalent as a Jets fan or as a fan of a team in the AFC East that's not the Patriots, is that before I get all, you know, pumped up and all downtrodden about the Patriots going on another long run, we got to see how this guy looks, because he looked very good in the beginning of the 2018 season, and then he jacked up his shoulder and had a serious shoulder surgery. And then when he came back the next season, his feet gave out, and you cannot underplay. And 31 is not old as a quarterback, which is what he is now in 2020. But when you talk about a shoulder injury and you talk about lower body injuries and the physical way he played the game, everyone's like, Dan Orlovsky is a guy we all respect a ton, was talking about how, what he can bring Cam Newton to this offense is, even though they don't have explosive players, his ability to run the football evens things out for an offense that doesn't have a lot of big time playmakers. We don't know if he's that guy anymore. So until we see him that way, that will judge how panicked I am and the rest of the AFC should be. I just think we're not there yet.
No, that's fair. I said, if he's healthy, if you got Cam Newton playing 16 games, the idea that the Patriots would be 12-4, I'd be disappointed if they were 8-8. If you get him healthy for 16 games.
He could play, but is he still the same player? I mean,
right.
There's a there is a in between there as well. Healthy
there is,
or not
but
healthy.
There's also the,
maybe just not the same guy.
The idea that everyone's overrating him, I just am thinking if you get the good version of Cam, 31 other teams decided he wasn't worth it. So I don't think he's being overrated. He signed a bare bones contract. I think the Patriots have a good chance to come out of this. Us thinking, oh, wow, they've done it again in the middle of December. I just don't think that's a crazy reality.
One other really interesting part of this, because everyone's going to look at all the rosters that could have had Cam Newton as their backup slash future.
Including Carolina.
They could have looked at it. But the problem is that Cam, and this is through no fault of his own, but he's almost too big a star. And I get why teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are a perfect example, everybody's like, how? And Sheck is having a meltdown. How was Cam Newton not brought in to be Ben Roethlisberger's backup and his future, the future of the franchise? Because Ben Roethlisberger can't have Cam Newton in the room. I mean, and maybe he can, but I totally get why teams would be like, this guy is too big. He's an MVP. He's larger than life. He's going to bring in a ton of, it's going to be a media circus if we install him as the backup. And I think that played as big a role as people just saying like, I don't think he could play anymore. I think
playing
too
scared
much
though. That's making
that.
Decisions scared. That's making
right.
like
that.
Decisions. And I think for Pittsburgh, actually, I would disagree with Sheck. Ben Roethlisberger is such a unique situation, a Hall of Famer who frankly, if he's healthy is better than Cam or, certainly in the same ballpark. I would put that to the side. It's more the teams with the young ones where the coaching staff or the young guy, they felt like couldn't handle it, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There is a real question, even as someone who's believed that Cam could be a Hall of Fame player. And, he hasn't been to this point, like, cause he is a transformative guy. I've never seen a player like him. There's never been a player like him. He looks like a defensive end. He was the greatest short yardage runner in the NFL for the last decade. That includes every running back. He was the biggest difference maker in the red zone inside the 10-yard line of any player. Adrian Peterson, whatever it is, Cam made a bigger difference. And if you're not getting 80% of that, and I think that's what you're getting to, Dan, of like, is he going to be the same guy with, at post foot injury? Then it is different. Now, I think he can still be good, and even 80% of Cam would be really interesting. And I think there's a real strong argument to make that he had a pretty bogus coaching staff for most of his career. I never believed in Mike Shula. He hit aces for one season, but it fell apart right after. It wasn't that impressive before. And I don't think they really knew what to do, and they didn't really know how to surround him. Whereas with the Patriots, the receivers aren't great, but he's had worse groups. But the running game, I think, could be solid. The offensive line's good, and more importantly, the coaching game is good. But it is not unfair to point out Newton played 2016, 2017, and I went back and looked, at my notes and QB index and stuff, and like he struggled those years, and a lot of bad things happened around him. It was the coaching, the injuries around him. But he was kind of a mid-level quarterback. He has not been a top 10 quarterback other than that first half of 2018 where he did look pretty good, for a while, for 5 years. And so he's an X factor. He's always been an X factor. But I also don't think he's going to have to be that Cam. You know what I mean? Well, like if the defense is good and the running game's good and Belichick kind of can hide weaknesses and play to strengths, it's like you can win games just like I thought they could win games with Jarrett Stidham. I thought they were kind of co-favorites, maybe like 1B. You can win games in different kind of ways.
Right. I would trust Jarrett Stidham in New England 10 times more than I would trust Jarrett Stidham in Jacksonville or somewhere right. else. And I feel that the issues that you had with Cam Newton's surrounding elements in Carolina, wipe it off the board. I mean, he's going with the best play caller in the entire league and the best head coach. Woo! So,
Kyle Shanahan. Like, what about me, bro?
I'm a How's your boy? You just put Kyle time. In the hall last week.
I think Josh has got to be. I'd wanted more information to
First
rank them,
basis.
But I think that you'd have to say Josh McDaniels has proven as much as any human being could prove for that spot. To argue for that spot. And I love the idea of him being paired with Cam. I think you guys are almost, I'm surprised that you're almost a little more down on the move than I am.
I'm so excited. I'm trying to hear it from Dan's. I'm trying to admit that Dan's perspective makes sense that there is so much unknown. As a fan of Cam, like I love, of course, and as a fan of the Patriots, of course I love it, because I think the ceiling is outrageous for a guy who's available at this time. I mean, it's just unprecedented. Even 90% of the ceiling is outstanding. I mean, it really is like picking up Randy Moss for a fourth or fifth round pick. He doesn't have to play like Randy Moss for the move to make all the sense in the world. You know right. what I mean? Like it the upside Ricky. Is outrageous.
I have a sneaking suspicion the Patriots are going to come out looking good in this move. That's just my intuition. Perhaps I'll be wrong.
They could. Ricky, what if I told you that you're going to get 75% of Cam Newton in 2020? You still take that over Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer?
I think you have to. I mean, I have my reservations about him in general, and I'm sure we'll get into that in a little while. But I think at the end of the day,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just it's Cam Newton, and like
what you don't like the font on his social media. It's like okay,
yeah, that's why I don't like him.
Please,
no, I think you know I am
kind
of
excited.
I was excited. Yes, I think it's a good move,
it's a smart move. Little juice. It gives
exactly
a little juice
does.
That they were lacking for sure.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So I feel good.
All right. You're over the Tom Brady thing now and you're moving forward as a fan. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not over the Tom Brady thing, but, you know, that did soothe the sting a little bit. So
okay. Very nice.
I'd ask you this. Right. Cam Newton has beaten the Patriots twice in two appearances. How many times has Tom Brady failed New England? Mm. Zero. So advantage Cam right out of the gate.
Plus, what are the odds that, you know, you went from Favre to Roger, you know, Favre to Rodgers and there's a couple MVPs. What are the odds that you go from Tom Brady to a quarterback that's better looking? Who would have thought that happens? I'm just saying.
I mean, to each his own.
I mean, that's an opinion.
You can make the argument.
You can certainly make that argument.
There is no doubt that Cam Newton is a hot man. But is he hotter than Tom Brady? I don't know. That's up for everyone's debate. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, that feels like a good time to get to Mike Garafolo. We'll ask him that as well. Let's welcome Mike on right now. Let's welcome him in. He is the hardest working man at NFL Network, or at least in the top seven. Mike Garafolo joins us. Hey, buddy. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Just ranking my okay.
Does that include behind the scenes?
Siciliano's in there. I mean, you got to give it to Rappaport, even though you don't want to. Pelissero's in
Weish.
There.
Well, what Weish about the three of us?
Oof, Weish. Yeah. Do you guys count as one, or would I have?
I mean, you could add all our work together and count that as one body of work.
Yeah,
Mike Garafolo is also he's doing the Pat Summerall thing now, where he's both host and analyst at once, which puts them in kind of rarefied air. So it's great to have you here.
Listen, the more you can do, you know, it makes them harder, makes it harder for them to get rid of you if you got, you know, your hands in everything. It's been fun.
You didn't put like James Palmer on your list. Lazy.
You guys stop. James Palmer. Did anybody work harder down the stretch last year? James Palmer.
I wouldn't use an example if it were.
I've been trying the less you can do method, and it's the results are there. I can promise you.
I love you, James Palmer. I know you're watching.
Let's get into it, Mike Garafolo, because you are as plugged in as anybody. When this news goes down on Sunday, was that something that was bubbling? And we haven't even gotten to the Patriots caught in another scandal and get punished for it storyline to this, 16 minutes apart, the two news stories. But was this Cam Newton to the Patriots thing, something floating around behind the scenes, or did it kind of drop out of nowhere?
I mean, it was always kind of there, but the timing of it was, I would say, one that not a lot of folks would have expected right around now. But, you know, a lot of this stuff is happening now that the virtual offseason is over, because it's kind of been an awkward thing for a lot of people, not realizing whether or not we're going to have the OTAs and mini camps. And now that we're clear through that, it's like, okay, everybody knows, you know, either we're reporting the training camp on time or this thing's going to continue to get kicked down the road a little bit. But now you at least had your clear direction about whether we're having a spring or not. So that's where it was for Cam Newton, whose only other option, and this I'd been mentioning, would have been to wait to see if a quarterback got injured and then be the Sam Bradford for the Vikings, a la via signing, not via trade, but same type of deal.
Trade, don't forget.
But that would have been the situation where, you know, it would have been a little bit desperate, or a team would have been desperate, and all of a sudden maybe you get the number that you wanted to get. So it was either sign now for the Patriots, pretty much walk in the starter as long as you're healthy, or, you know, go the other route and sit there and wait, and maybe somebody gets hurt at some point.
Do you have any info on, like, what you think you might see in terms of the contract? Because there hasn't really been details out there. I know Ian said up to 7.5, but I'm just curious because they, you know, part of the reason I didn't expect Cam was it was going to take him being a minimum salary player for the Patriots to get him, unless they made some crazy move like trade Joe Tooney. Because they, you know, supposedly they only had about $1 million in cap space entering this weekend.
Yeah, and that's where the guarantee is going to be, right around there. And everything else on top of that is going to be starts, you know, performance, wins. We have to see the breakdown. I haven't quite seen it yet, in part because a lot of times these things don't get filed and sent in until they're officially signed. And we're not there with Cam. He's still got to take the physical. And that was my question, really, was how did the Patriots make this move not knowing what to expect from the physical standpoint? And my understanding is, you know, they've gotten a read on it from afar. They still have to take their close look. And until that happens, they won't be announcing anything. But they are confident that they've got themselves the Cam Newton from 2018. OK, because and I've been saying this on the air today, I don't know that we're ever going to see 2015 Cam ever again. But if you see 2018 Cam, this is a team that feels like now they could put themselves back in the championship conversation because he was playing. And that's obviously early 2018 before the wheels came off.
It certainly sounds like Belichick's, you know, interviews with various people around the league, like Norv Turner, had an influence on this, too, on Cam Newton, the person, Cam Newton, the game preparer, the whole A to Z. Yeah. But, you know, Greg, you mentioned the cap room here. Are there other dominoes to fall, Mike, where, like, you know, you brought in Cam, they maybe still want to add some pieces. Have you heard anything about the Patriots making other moves that might draw headlines in the next couple weeks?
Not to this point, because some, you know, listen, the two big ones would be guys that have already been there, which is Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. And from what I gather, there are other teams involved right now that would make, at least for Antonio Brown, if they're confident in the off the field stuff, would probably make it more worth his while monetarily. So I would be surprised at this point if that winds up being the case. But that's via the free agent market. There'll be opportunities to make trades for guys as it goes along. And Belichick has never been shy about doing that. So wouldn't be surprised if that might be an option for them, but we've got to get back to work. I mean, like,
right.
There's so much stuff that's on hold until we get back to work.
Let's dig in though on what you just said about Antonio Brown, just because I'm curious. What you think that there's teams out there that are going to pay Antonio Brown decent money if he gets back into the league?
Yeah, I do. Because I know that they're going to have to, because this is a guy that's still, and listen,
so you think he's going to be back? Basically, let's just do a hypothetical. Let's say the NFL suspends him 8 games. You think he's getting back into the NFL?
I don't know that they're going to suspend him 8 games because, and I know you're just throwing out a number. I get
or
I'm
four,
not,
you whatever.
Know. Right. But the tone in what Roger Goodell was saying about Antonio Brown when asked about him at the Super Bowl, I keep going back to that. It was not a punitive tone. Mm. It was a, what's the word I'm looking for? It was all about really helping Antonio Brown as the person, if he's willing to help himself, basically.
Rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation, I guess, is the word. I don't love using that word because, you know, it's tied to other things that Alden Smith was dealing with. And if you notice in the letter to Alden Smith, when he was reinstated, it was all about how the program can work for him. And how he's shown that he wants to stay committed to it and how he could be an example for other guys. That was something that they communicated to him. So now it's all about, excuse me, it's less about this program, this drug program and this other programs as a penalty for players and more about something that can help them be better players and better people. Mm. I mean, I know it sounds corny. I just, the tone, what I remember hearing that answer and saying, whoa, that was not what I really expected. And it was more of a forgiving tone to Roger Goodell. And the other thing, too, is these allegations against Antonio Brown, they have to be proven. You need a little bit more of he said, she said in these cases.
Richard Sherman had very strong words about the Cam Newton deal. He called it, quote, disgusting, which is obviously very strong language. Is that something, are you surprised as someone that's been covering this league for so long, how this has played out with Newton? And of course, as long as you've been covering the league, you never had COVID-19 to deal with. So maybe this is just one of those timing situations. But there's also the questions of this contract, and I guess we're going to get more details as they go along. But did Cam get anything else out of this, like maybe protection from being franchised if he ends up having a big season? What have you heard anything about the contract and your thoughts about Richard Sherman's comments?
Now, the Patriots have agreed to that before, so if he did get that, that wouldn't surprise me. We'll see once everything comes in. But I understand what Richard is saying, and I agree with it to a certain extent. But I would say that the reason that teams didn't make this, because early on, let's go back. Early on in free agency, Cam Newton had a certain number in his head for what he was going to get. The problem is you need
what ballpark do you think?
I'm sure it was in the 20s. I mean, that's okay. What you know, everybody knows top starter money right now is in the 30s, the low 30s. So I would say it would be in the 20s. And you look at some of the guys making money in the 20s. I'm sure he's sitting there saying, I'm way better than these guys. So I don't blame him for winning that. Now, it all comes down to situation and circumstance, too, because even Nick Foles, that's the one that people have kind of been holding up against, saying, OK, well, why didn't the Bears bring in Cam Newton instead of Nick Foles? Nick Foles had to rework his contract. Okay. He had a big number left in the deal, and they had to work it a way to spread it out so that it's not a huge number over the next 3 years. And the other thing is they still have a guy in Chicago that they want to win the starting job. Make no mistake. The Bears would love Mitch Trubisky to win that job to continue as their quarterback, because that's a guy that they've invested so much in, and they want to be right. In the end, they want to be right about Mitch Trubisky. Whereas in this case with New England, it was an opportunity that presented itself because they really didn't rush to go out and trade for Andy Dalton or sign Dalton once he became free or plug somebody in. They took their the more patient approach. Now, I did ask this. I said, how quickly did this thing come together with the Patriots? And I'm told that it came together really quickly. Asterisk on that. Nobody knows how long Belichick himself was kind of monitoring this by himself. So all along we've been talking about, yeah, they seem like they're kind of, we can't rule it out, you know, but they're not making a strong push for Cam Newton. It's because Belichick was kind of monitoring it the whole time and probably waiting to the point where Newton said, you know what? I'll take this deal because you know what? I can come in and I can play for the best coach in the league and reestablish myself, show everybody I'm healthy. And now I can hit a big number next offseason.
I mean, there was a note out there from Adam Schefter that the Browns
don't use those words here. I mean, if Ian was on the show right now, he would just blast you into space. But even with Mike, it can be touched.
Well, another newsman out there offered this up, that the Browns had looked into Cam Newton, which the timing, you know, it needs to be unpacked, would have happened after they signed Case Keenum, if you go by the time when the Panthers said goodbye to Cam Newton, which I find to be an interesting wrinkle.
Now, I was also told at some point by Andrew Berry, because I was asking about something, and I had a conversation with him at some point, and he said, I'm in on everything. And he worked with Howie Roseman, who is in on everything. You ever notice how many times the Eagles are linked to a player? Yep. It's because they're in on everything. Cause you just never know what you're going to come up with if you investigate. So I believe it was more along those lines and Barry being new on the job there.
But isn't that the problem? There's 20 other teams that could have.
Douglas is from the Eagles tree. That's why he picked up the phone when the Cowboys called. Come on, Jamal Adams. That's what smart teams do.
I think it might have been smart for the Jets to be in on Cam Newton. That's the type of team where I mean it, where it's like you're being a little afraid of making a good move. I mean, no one would even consider it.
You have a plan you want to work. You're Chicago. Right. You want this plan that is not working according to our eyesight. It must work. And so you don't go out and get the better quarterback. I think that's why 2/3 of the league are not competitive with New England.
And now, I think it's important. Yeah, I just want to say to Greg's point, The Jets love Sam Darnold, Greg. You don't seem to like him so much.
No,
they
I
love
like
him, though.
So you have
to understand that.
My point is but they have to at least, and maybe they don't, but they have to live in a world where there's other, you know, options. A, Darnold can get hurt. But B, like, what do we do if we're six games into the season and it's going terribly? Like, have other routes to maybe possibly just be open to it. You know, open to, like, would he come in for $2 million? But no, I can get why Joe Douglas would not be confident in Adam Gase to handle that situation. So, I mean, that's what I mean. You have to play afraid when you're not confident in your own building.
I would just go back to what Richard Sherman was upset about and what other folks might be saying about, well, how did the Patriots let this happen? Could you imagine? I mean, go back. Let's stick with the Jets. Let's stick with the Jets. Go back to Tim Tebow coming in behind Mark Sanchez. If you don't think that was a net negative effect on Sanchez,
sure. Who
really the circus. Exactly. Well, and what was the line? One time Sanchez let his guard down. It was like on a Friday and it got a little bit of attention. He said, selling seats. Somebody asked him about Tebow and he's like, selling seats, man. Like basically saying it was a promotional thing. And you could see the frustration on his face when he said that. And it was just a little peek into, of course, he didn't want this sideshow there with him. Now,
but they both weren't that great at playing quarterback, and that would have been true no matter what. And so you just need to find a quarterback that is good at playing quarterback and have options and not be afraid. Maybe it didn't make sense for this Jets team in particular, but I just mean in general, like, why be afraid of winning different types of ways? Having other plans if your A plan is not working.
And listen, Belichick is not afraid in ways that other coaches are afraid, right? So,
right.
And they could still, I mean, this is a low guaranteed contract. Theoretically, Jarrett Stidham could still beat out Cam Newton for this starting job. But as I described it on the air earlier, my belief, based on the conversations that I have had since this thing went down, is it's Cam versus Cam. I mean, if Cam comes in and is healthy and shows that he can play good football again, it's Cam and a runaway. There's no question about that. Despite the fact that now you're going to have to tweak your offense, okay, and you're going to have to do it in a year where you didn't have a spring, and you're going to have you're definitely going to have some kind of abbreviated training camp, and maybe two to no preseason games. So this is a team that's not afraid to do that because they've done it for 20 years. Now, granted, they did it with Brady at quarterback, but the point is they trusted the guys around Brady to be able to make those adjustments. And not only year to year, week to week, and quarter to quarter, drive to drive, be able to make these adjustments. If something's not working, scrap the game plan and let's go back to some of the stuff that maybe we haven't done since training camp.
That's why the timing, Mike, I think, is crucial, because they now have this month to get that offense ready. And of course, they're going to be planning like an offense. And to Richard Sherman's initial point, I think we've talked about this. Cam's had a lot of bad luck, I think, in his career. He certainly has with the injuries the last couple of years. This offseason was bad luck to be any quarterback looking for a job. I mean, Andy Dalton if you had told me at the beginning of the offseason Andy Dalton was going to sign for $2 or $3 million, I would have been shocked by that. Now, Cam, I think, is another level. But if you look back 4 or 5 offseasons ago, there's a lot of offseasons where Sam Bradford coming off an injury is the bell of the ball at quarterback, and there's 7 teams looking. Or Kevin Cobb's the bell of the ball, and teams are going to give up picks for him. Brock Osweiler's going to get them with like 3 teams going after. Whereas this year, there was only like, there was almost no teams looking for quarterbacks, and there actually were decent players available. I think it was all combined to hurt Cam.
Got to mention Mike Glennon there too.
Mike Glennon, that's actually the best example. I blew it.
Mike, what are you doing 4th of July in Jersey in a very strange year before we say goodbye?
Well, we're going to be down the shore, but I'm trying to think. We're going to have I'll keep it to the bare minimum facts. We are going to have a baby reveal, which – I'm Ooh. Sorry.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't allow you guys to break that one again.
That's right.
Awesome the first time around when you guys had that.
I thought that was our corner.
Yeah, right.
Forgot about that.
I gotta spread it out. I got a lot of mouths to feed. So we are going to do a baby reveal over the weekend. We're just trying to figure out where and how.
Is there going to be like a gun involved? You know, where like screamers come out of the gun? Not a real gun, but like people get pretty crazy with this stuff now.
We're working on it. We're working on it. Did we lose Dan? What's happening?
He is returning. Are you? You're
mostly
not one of the
audio
people.
Program, Mike. Just roll with the punches here,
Mike. Okay. You're not one of the people. You know this is happening on both coastlines. That have just been setting off fireworks every night since like May 8th. Are you? Is that something that I could pin on you, or is that not accurate?
No, that's not.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out who's doing it.
You guys are funny. So listen,
I'm kind of guilty with this laughter.
I got a couple of things rattling around my head right now. That's fine. And neither one of them do I actually want to say. So I'm just going to plead the fifth on this one and text you offline. How about that?
Okay.
There you go. Mike Garofalo, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on another child.
Hey, by the way,
gender reveal goes well.
Thank you very much. But I like to preach accountability. I got to follow my sword. Now, I've been itching to get back on here with you guys because I think I left you the last time with Greg asking me. We were in Indianapolis and he said, is Philip Rivers going to wind up the quarterback of the Colts? And I got too cute because I knew that they had already had talks with the Jaguars about Nick Foles. So I said to you, I don't think so. I think it might be another veteran quarterback, and I didn't lead on about who it might be. And they did. In the end, it was Rivers Falls, and they decided, let's just go with Rivers and not give up any draft pick compensation. But that's been eating at me because it was right there. All I had to do was say yes. Nobody would remember, but I bet you more people remember that I said no. So
none of us would have remembered what your first answer was, but that is why you're a pro. That's why you've gotten to where you are, is things like that keep you up at night.
Thank you for clearing that up, Mike, and enjoy the time with the family, and we love having you with us.
All right, boys, thank you very much. Thank I appreciate you. It happy fourth.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
There he goes, Mike Garofalo. Gender reveal. I just missed that. I think that really got big.
I mean, did you?
Right after. Well, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean everyone has to or will. I can guarantee.
Did Wesley Lakeisha do it?
Emeka would never do that. She just would not be into it.
Yeah, they did it on our show.
Yeah, they did it.
Yeah, it happened.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Okay. Remember they poured the wine and it was blue?
Lakeisha was very organized on the pregnancy front. I don't think you were getting through that process without a gender reveal. And that was a big tentpole moment.
Gender reveals were invented for Lakeisha Jackson Wessling to have a child, basically. All right, let us get to some winners and losers. We'll wrap up this Cam Newton conversation with some winners and losers. I'll start it out. Maybe we'll share one or two each. A winner, the Bill Belichick is playing chess while the world is playing checkers mob. I mean, everybody was, wow, the Pats have done it again. Well, it's kind of like, that's the same thing with the Patriots drafting Tom Brady with the 199th overall pick. Sometimes it's just things work out in your favor. And I don't think if the Patriots were smart, they would have gotten this guy a long time ago and not risked waiting all this time, because they really would have been a very good chance. Let's face it. Unless you really think Jared Stidham is going to develop into a player, there was a real chance the Pats are going to be caught with their pants down this season.
They wouldn't have gotten him for $1 million, which is all they had.
I mean, well, if you're saying that, like, if this is a quarterback position, the most important position on the field, if they really thought they needed Cam Newton, wouldn't they have found a way to make it happen?
They didn't think they needed Cam Newton. I think to me, that's my takeaway a lot with Patriots. And that's why, like, I'm making the case for the Broncos. The point isn't that you need Cam Newton. The point is, let's just try to get better.
If they thought they needed Cam Newton,
you're right. He would have. They were ready to go into the season with Stidham. They still would be, because they were prepared, obviously, for any team if they had wanted to sign Cam Newton at any point. But at this point, it's like you stop looking. You know, you stop ignoring value at the behest of like whatever they were planning.
It's such a different situation, though. I mean, to say that the Patriots situation, and you can compare the Patriots and the Jets, you can't, because the Patriots had a clear need at starting quarterback, and the Jets, and I think Mike was getting to that point as well. If their guy is Sam Darnold, and they bring in a star like Cam Newton in there, that creates not just it makes the roster better, but at what cost? And that's why I think the Patriots, it was a slam dunk move for them, because it makes them better and it doesn't have any of that negative stuff that would have come with it if you signed with the Jets or the Steelers or whoever else.
But the only thing, I mean, your initial point was that everyone suggesting that Belichick plays chess while everyone else is learning how to play checkers still. But he is. And he has been for a long... I mean, are you actually saying that that's not what Bill Belichick's
history
is?
I'm saying this was a no-brainer for the Patriots. They should have done this a couple
months ago. But they showed no panic, though. I don't think they had... I do think that there's something to what Greg is saying about the fact that, like, it wasn't like there was a stress and a element of panic to adding Cam Newton to the roster. I think they waited until the price was right. They're a cap-strapped team. And no other team acted, so it became more and more of a reality. I don't think it was a master plan to do that either, but the timing now fits. And I think 3 months ago, people did not know where we were with Cam Newton's health, even more than today. There was information gathering,
I
think it's, too.
I don't know how much more we know now than we did 3 months ago about how
healthy. Well, we've seen him working. Bill Belichick knows more than the media does if he's talking to people around Cam Newton. But yeah, I don't know.
I just think it's dunderheaded to have the viewpoint that only Bill Belichick saw that Cam Newton could make his team better when there were a lot of different factors that came into play that allowed this to play out this way. But that's just mine. How about who's got another one?
Well, I would give you a loser, and it's similar to what you're talking about a little bit, Dan, that we're about a month away probably from a devastating quarterback injury to occur. And I think that a lot of the league, and you know, it'd be great to find out where people were on Cam Newton, how close any teams really got to signing him. But it seemed to be that Cam Newton got slotted into someone's just going to sign him and make him their starter when, you know, quarterback A goes down, because all these teams didn't want to deal with Cam Newton, the backup, creating all the business we've talked about, the drama. I mean, that kind of planning is now out the window, because I really actually completely agree with Greg's take that Cam Newton being added to the right kind of team just makes that quarterback room look so much better. And all these teams with iffy situations avoided it. And now he is gone. He's gone to the team that he is going to thrive with most. So all these other teams, the past, I think, are going to be a talking point all season long. And I'd start with the Panthers, because I like Matt Rhule a ton, but I think that there was an element of, if you really want a fresh start in Carolina, does it make sense to start over with, like the Patriots? Matt Rhule is the leader of that team, not Cam Newton. And the split, which was very messy, happened very quickly.
It was tough. It would have been tough there, but I also think he would fit into that Matt Rhule system. I'll throw some winners. How about NFL fans who are, you know, seeing the Patriots in primetime four or five times, because that was a bit of a risk here. And so yeah, if you have Cam there in primetime, that's a lot more exciting. How about a winner, Julian Edelman?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know necessarily, like, hey, he's going to get more balls with Cam Newton or not. But I do think the Patriots are seeing, and this is where I'm being a homer, I don't think the receivers are as disastrous as kind of it's been painted. Now, if Mo Sanu looks like he did last year when he played through a high ankle sprain the second he got there, that could be part of it. And if N'Keal Harry is a total bust, which feels like it's on the table because it was a disconcerting first year out of a first-round pick, like, I get it. But Edelman, Sanu, Harry, couple rookie tight ends. I don't know. I've seen worse wide receiver groups, and I do think Edelman fits pretty well with Cam Newton, who throws well up the seams.
I would take issue with the primetime thing a little bit, because I think that there was there would have been an audience, a national audience gripped by the idea of Jarrett Stidham being rolled out there, and we want to watch it burn, right? So if they're just going to be a playoff team with Cam Newton.
But
okay,
it's just fascinating, isn't it? Even if you're a relatively, and I think a lot of Cam Newton fans who hate the Patriots, there's a lot of people who just like watching Cam Newton play football, including me, who aren't Patriots fans. They're just kind of like, all right, this will be fun. You know, let's watch this.
If we got a Stidham, Hoyer, poo-poo platter and neither guy could play, that kind of enjoyment of watching the Patriots fall flat would probably wear off by the time they were 2-5. And they had five primetime games scheduled right now.
A lot of their tougher games.
Off in your house. I think you would enjoy that wire to wire. I don't think you'd be bored of it.
I probably would, but I'm saying,
yeah,
I would. I would probably enjoy it all season long. But also,
I feel like every AFC team feels that way too after the last few years. I mean, their early schedule too is tough. I mean, their toughest games, you know, with the Chiefs, and some of them are all early in the season.
A big winner is the shamelessness meter for the Patriots. It busted past the 10 meter, and it's all the way up to 12 now. It's just it burst with the announcement 16 minutes apart, ladies and gentlemen, 16 minutes apart. the announcement of the Cam Newton signing 16 minutes before the Adam Schefter report that the Patriots were fined $1.1 million and will lose their 2021 third round pick for filming the Bengals sideline in connection to one of their team produced shows.
Playing the game.
That is, I mean, it is. Listen, I'm not even mad.
Public relations masterwork is what it is.
I'm not even mad, but this organization, they're shameless. And you got to give it to them. And I will say, just like, because somebody's got to say it, it's just the latest in what's been a major part of this, what this legacy is for this organization. I'm sorry, you could have the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback and all the rings, but this is now, by my count, the fourth major scandal connected to this team, and then a myriad of smaller ones. But you had Spygate in 07, you had the AFC Championship game, Deflategate in 14. This videotape scandal is not nearly at that same level, but again, they got busted for it, and it's a substantial fine and a draft pick that has a lot of value in Patriot land. I'm not even going to get into walkthrough gate in 2002 before the first Super Bowl, but it's part of their story, and it should not be ignored.
I know that everyone acts like this latest thing was, I think there's a fair amount of exhaustion when you hear a news story about the Patriots, you doing something with a video camera anywhere, you're just like, all right. But I mean, to me, if the league decided that the penalty for what they, for the wrong was a third round pick and $1 million, what are they claiming behind closed doors happened here? Is it not similar suspect, suspicious behavior that looks like other Patriots taping issues? Because if it is, shouldn't the penalty have been
right,
wholly different than this? I don't understand what they... Here's the investigation. We've come up with the idea that they've done this and it's only worth a third round pick and, you know, like 8 pennies out of Robert Kraft's pocket. I need to know more.
I think part of it, that at least in the reasoning that you heard, you know, back when they were investigating it, is that they're going to get punished extra for any infraction because they're a repeat offender, essentially, in doing this. So maybe if it was a team that had never done it before, it would have been, I don't know,
a fifth or sixth round pick. This is nothing, or this is more of the same.
I saw the third round pick, and I'm surprised more isn't being made of it. And the Cam news is certainly a reason.
Yep.
Is there certainly a reason why? Because a third round pick is significant. You know, this was kind of brushed off pretty quickly. And if you look into what was happening, you know, no one has a hard take of like what it really meant. But a third round pick is a big loss. No one's giving away third round picks just for fun. I mean, those are valuable picks.
And anyone who's followed the NFL that has a pulse knows that part of the reason the Patriots have stayed great all these years is because they make the most of those mid round picks many times. Just for the record, the Spygate scandal, Belichick got fined $500,000. The Patriots got fined $250,000, and they lost their first round pick in the 2008 draft. Deflategate, it was $1 million for the team, and they gave up their first and fourth round picks in 2016 and 2017, respectively. And now this year, it is, I guess, the highest fine they faced. And maybe it's just a pattern. Maybe it's basic inflation or just a pattern of escalating behavior, but $1.1 million and the forfeiture of the third round pick. Ricky, this is the team you root for.
Maybe people are mad.
How do you sleep?
Immediately afterwards, they fell apart and their offense was terrible. So maybe that was bad juju. How do you sleep though, Ricky? I've wondered that.
No, it's upsetting. It's not a good look for sure.
Ricky, do you want to? I know you had another thought on Cam Newton. Might as well share it now. Something that's giving you pause here.
I just feel like the way that he, you know, reacted to that female reporter saying it's funny how to hear a female talk about routes to
That's
me
fair.
is it's bugged me since the day it happened. And to stand behind someone, where especially if you're coming to play for a New England team or that fan base, you say all you want, but like we give everything to our team, like it's such a homer place. And like for me, it's like you expect half of just females in general in the Boston area to stand behind you and be like, oh, cool. Like this is, I don't know. It's really
rubbed
me in the wrong way.
You want to play it for people that may have forgotten what Cam said a couple of years ago?
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making, getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But
yeah, not Cam's finest moment. But you can't. Yeah, I mean, come on. Maybe he had a bad day. You're gonna give him a pass on that, or is that it for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's not all of a sudden like, oh, cancel culture is so stupid, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you're on a podium where you know, like, you're blatantly have that much disrespect to embarrass someone who asked a very legitimate, great question. That's not him, you know, locker room talk. And he said that, like, he was on a stage with cameras everywhere and he literally decided to do that. So to me, it's, of course, you know, it could have just been a bad day, but it's not cool.
No, I'm trying to think, but like, I've almost never had a problem with stuff Cam's done off the field. And that was a low moment for him. That was a very low moment for him. I mean, but the fan base is going to be into him if he plays well and not if he does. I mean, Tom Brady once, you know, was trying to sell that water could help you with concussions and stuff. It's like you know, people can say some crazy stuff. I'm more interested in, it's like, the Patriots haven't had a black quarterback in my lifetime that was like a starter, which is interesting. You know, to me, it's different, and it's definitely different in that region. And I think it'll be exciting. And a quarterback who's, you know, his personality, he's got a big personality, and winning is gonna make that all go fine. And if they're not winning and he's playing, then it'll be, you know, fascinating to watch.
That's a big part of it, is what will his personality be in New England? Will it be tempered at all? Because I don't think the
shout out to Rowan Davey, by the way. Sorry.
Right. I don't think the freewheeling press conferences are probably in the past. To your pleasure, Erica, too.
I wonder about that. I had that on my losers list. Cam's fledgling new hieroglyphics language. I wonder if this is a 1-year contract, and Cam is a guy whose career and the way he's played, he plays with a lot of passion. He's a very colorful guy. He is this, almost exactly the opposite of what the quote unquote Patriots way player should be like. And I know they've brought in big personalities in the past, but also we've heard from prominent players before that went to New England and said, I didn't like it there. There is also a scenario where Cam plays well and decides maybe this place isn't for me, and I'm going to take this leverage of getting my career back on track and I'm going to go sign elsewhere. So sure. there is a bit of assumption here that not only was this a perfect signing for the Pats, but he's going to be healthy and be a star, and he's going to be their quarterback for another 7 years.
I don't think there's any assumption of that. Yeah.
Oh, I think you wouldn't look past this season, but it is a perfect springboard potentially for Cam Newton.
No, I think that's a good point, that even if he plays well, Dan, that he might not be the long-term quarterback because he's going to have options and he's not going to necessarily be that cheap. The thing I would say in terms of the Patriot way, though, is like, they've had a million colorful characters, and Mike talked about him talking to Norv Turner and stuff. It's like, if they want guys that are ultra competitive and like love football to their core, and I don't think anyone's ever questioned that with Cam Newton. And it's different. It's different when your quarterback is out there and is a little different. But it's like, I don't think anyone's, you know, they shouldn't have questioned that with Cam Newton. And I think that's why they feel like it's a good fit. While we're talking quarterbacks, so
should have fallen on that ball in Super Bowl 50. But yeah, otherwise,
I agree. I knew you were saying.
A loser here. You know, those of us on Stidham Corner here. Step back, but for me, I love Cam Newton far more than I've ever loved being on Stidham Corner. And I do think, to your point about Cam Newton, that it might be, a 1-year thing. It's like, there's a decent chance you'll see Stidham this year, anyways, and possibly for a lot of the year. I mean, we just don't know with Cam Newton's health. And then B, like, he's a second year, fourth round pick. It's very possible that he's in the mix, like, at a later date. There's just not much reason to believe, as Mike said, as anything logical would said, that when we're reading these quarterback battles in August, and we will, it's like, there will be no reason to think that a healthy Cam Newton is not their starter. It's like, how is Jarrett Stidham going to be a better player than Cam Newton right now? Come on.
But all the reporting also talks about how they, to your point, they've not given up on Jarrett Stidham. And I think it's actually just a better situation to find out who Jaron Stidham is and another year to develop. He's not a first round guy. I don't think he didn't draft him to think he's the heir apparent to Tom Brady.
I have one more loser, and Greg, you alluded to it, the Bills' AFC East favorite status. I actually saw a tweet right before the show started. I don't know if it's a Vegas-wide, desert-wide thing, but the Patriots are now slight favorites in the AFC East after the Cam Newton signing, which maybe is the best thing that could happen to the Bills, who now probably don't have to worry about falling into that trap of expectations being so high. It's not easy to be the favorite, especially if you don't have any experience with it. And now the Patriots, I think there will be a lot of people, especially if Cam looks good, if and when there's a training camp. The Bills get to kind of go back to that, you know, we're hunting for the division title rather than people. And it was wrong to do it in the first place, but you kind of were getting the feeling that people were handing in that title. So, yes, the favorite status is over, but that might actually be a good thing for the Bills. Ultimately.
I think it is a good thing. Also, there is definitely a hipster movement afoot also, where it's like, I don't really care what New England did. Buffalo's still running away with this division head and tails.
Yeah.
Colleen likes that.
Colleen likes the Bills. It makes the AFC East more, you know, interesting. Just like at quarterback, it's so much more interesting than it was a few years ago. I'm not down on Darnold because he's the guy, the type of guy I usually fall for, that he makes three throws every play, every game that like almost no one could make. To me, he's just a total wild card where the ceiling is so high and the floor, you know, might be fairly low still. And then you have Tua, and then you have Josh Allen, who makes people crazy. But to me, in a best case scenario, he's a poor man's Cam Newton. And then you actually have Cam Newton.
Right. That's nice.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't forget about our favorite, yeah, please.
That's fair.
We got Fitzmagic in the mix. Yeah, the Patriots. I don't need to see the Patriots win another division for the rest of my life. But I do, as a football fan, I kind of am into the Cam Newton in the division thing. It's a fun storyline. The Patriots were shaping up as a brutally boring team. And now there's some juice in the building. All right. All right. Anybody got another one, or do you want to move on here?
Let's move on.
All right. Before we say goodbye, because again, we are going away for a week. So why don't we do a little 8 o'clock lightning, Ricky, just to 8 o'clock delight, excuse me, just to hit any other news, and then we'll say goodbye. Mark Davis is unhappy with the decision to sell ads, not seats, to fans in his fancy new stadium. Greg.
I mean, this is just the beginning. If Mark Davis is coming after the league because he thinks like society should be more open, you might see some political back and forth among the owners. Might be interesting.
You like that? A little Raiders sizzle there. Matt Rhule says to everybody, and maybe me, Teddy will go deep more in 2020. 6.2 attempted there.
Why not? You got Robbie Anderson. And Matt Rhule knows Robbie Anderson well. I think this is a little bit has to do with Rhule when he came on our show too and had to answer Teddy questions. Everywhere he goes, it's Teddy questions, and typically questions doubting Teddy. So he's telling you, stick it. We're going to throw the ball.
And
see how
for
it works.
Teddy Bridgewater's averaged 6.2 intended air yards per attempt last season. In other news, Ezekiel Elliott still hasn't worked out 2 weeks after getting the COVID-19 virus. Greg,
this is the whole thing with Corona that I think people are underselling. What are the long-term impacts going to be for these players? For the 37 Clemson guys. It's outrageous.
Also, the Hall of Fame game and ceremony were canceled. July 28th, still the target date for training camp. We'll see, Mark. We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. What are you guys going to do this week? Anything? I'm still in Texas, of course. I'm going to enjoy it here at the lake. Kevin Danger Hansis, my brother, is coming into town, actually, and he's going to stay with us in seclusion here at the lake house, and I'm looking forward to it. How about
that should have a similar Cam Newton in New England effect. He tends to spice things up when he arrives.
That's well put.
I could see some controversial press conferences, hairstyles. It all is on the table for Danger.
Kevin Danger Hansis and my brother-in-law Tanner are still the only people in the history of the Super Bowl and the Super Bowls we've covered at the Around the NFL podcast where we go into the stadiums. Ricky as well. And we, on game day for the Super Bowl, we get there about 3 hours, 4 hours before kickoff. And we're in that building, what, 3 or 4 hours after the Lombardi Trophy is handed over.
So when we
leave, we're sometimes close to the last people out of the Super Bowl stadium. And To this day, only Kevin and Tanner were the only Super Bowl family guests that were still awake when we got back to the hotel at 3 odd a.m. in the morning at TJ Fridays, hammering down drinks, talking to girls, getting in trouble.
I think they actually convinced TGI Fridays to stay open later because they're like, there are people coming back. This place is going to be rocking. And, you know, we closed the place very early in the morning.
Anyway, your plans, guys, for this week and lady?
My plan, I really have no plans. It's like other weeks, but less podcasts. I do have an update, though. I don't know, Erica, if you wanted to share the poll that you put up on your site. She want, you know, on her Twitter page, she said, who's better looking? Settle an argument. Greg says Cam. Right now, over 550 votes, Cam dominating 68% of the vote.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big loss for me. I really, you know, hit the table that it was Tom Brady earlier. And, you know, maybe like Cam Newton, I can change.
Well, I will. Let's just give Brady this. A lot of people are better looking at 31 than they are at 43. Right.
Well, plus trusting the American public in an open vote isn't always proven to be like you're choosing the right guy. So,
well, there's a lot of people are going to just vote against Brady because they can't stand Brady. But I think the Cam is a fair challenger there.
Sorry, I didn't have an answer for what's happening this week. I don't know if Mark
Cam's hot.
We are going to Lake Arrowhead as a family for two nights or so.
Nice.
That's a nice job by Airbnb. You. Erica, nice. you got to be careful here. By the way, Erica, you're a young lady, and I know what's been happening in LA since I've been gone. You guys can't stop partying, you millennials, and it's caused a spike in the Los Angeles County region. What are you doing here?
Texas, yeah. Pointing fingers.
Yeah, I know, right? Seriously, I rented a house up in Joshua Tree National Park, so I'm gonna go up there for a little bit and get out of the city and see some stars.
Very good. I call no land home anymore, Mark. I don't, not Texas, not California, not New York. I'm a wanderer at this stage of my life. And I think that's just the best way to do it at this point.
I hope that got into the newspaper article that we've not heard anything else about.
I'm waiting. Yeah. We're waiting to find out.
Ooh. Let us know.
Tease. That's a nice tease for next week. Come back. Come back to find out the stirring conclusion to the Gatesville Messenger.
What a drama.
Oh, no.
All right. Good stuff. Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm, The Old Boss, Ricky Hollywood. Enjoy the 4th, everybody. See you next week.